This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 19 من شهر جمادى الآخرة 1446 الموافق ل 21 من شهر ديسمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah today we continue from where we stopped last درس, and today we will be dealing with الاستثناء في اليمين. الاستثناء is exception, right? Saying inshallah or except or illa an yasha Allah, something like that. So the first hadith under this topic is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man halafa ala yameenin faqala insha Allah fala hintha alayhi. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man halafa ala yameenin faqala insha Allah. Whoever swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says, insha'Allah, فَلَا حِنْثَ عَلَيْهِ. There is no hinth. Hinth means you break, you go against the yameen, and as such you have to face the consequences. You get it? Al-hinth is going against the oath, the yameen. That's what is called al-hinth. So if a person says, insha'Allah, you say, wallahi, I will do this, insha'Allah. But then he did not do. There is no hint. He doesn't need to go for kafara at all. قال من حلف على يمين فقال إن شاء الله فلا حنث عليه. So if you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said إن شاء الله, there is no hint. الترمذي يقول لا نعلم أحدا رفعه غير أيوب السختياني. وقال ابن عليا كان أيوب يرفعه تارة وتارة لا يرفعه. Okay, these are issues of إسناد الأمير السنعاني ناقشها, which we don't need to go through it. The hadith is authentic, alhamdulillah. That's the most important thing we need to know. And the best is that this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if we assume that the hadith is mawquf ala ibn Umar, mawquf means hadith which is attributed to the Sahabi. So if we assume that the hadith is mawquf, then still this is an issue that a person cannot say based on his own personal opinion. Yeah, the hukm al-raf, it has the hukm of al-raf'u. Al-raf'u means attribution to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By the way, the class is so nice, so calm, but sisters, if you suffer from the heat, please on the aircon from your side. Yeah. This one will remain like this. But nice to have a glass of window. No noise. Yeah, but don't punish yourself. We don't need that one to be off. Okay. So he says, وَإِلَى هَذَا وَإِلَى مَا أَفَادَهُ الْحَدِيثُ ذَهَبَ الْجُمْهُرُ. The vast majority of the scholars believe that yes, the hadith should be applicable in all circumstances. If a person says inshallah, then no kafara, you know. وقال ابن العربي المالكي أجمع المسلمون على أن قوله. There is another, some Arabi, son of Arabi. What is the difference between the good one and the bad one?
One has alif lam, the other one.
Which one has alif lam? No, I just want Ibn al-Arabi. Forget about the name. If we go to the name, alhamdulillah, we will know who is who. But sometimes they don't mention that, the name. They don't tell you Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi. They just tell you Ibn al-Arabi or Ibn al-Arabi. How do I know the good one and how do I know the bad one? عارف forget about that one. من الذي ما عنده مشاكل يعني who doesn't have مشاكل but that, if you compare the مشاكل of this and the مشاكل of that one is out of Islam completely, you know, you get it, yeah. So how do we recognize one of them with alif wal lam and the other one without alif wal lam? But why can't you just look at this one, because we don't quote from the other one usually. And this one is with alif wal lam. That's al-mu'arraf was al-jayid. Wal-munakkar wal-nakira. Yeah, it's the one that Ibn Arabi, when they want you to understand the bad one, that's Ibn Arabi. The good one, they put al-alif wal lam at-ta'rif, Ibn Arabi. Qala Ibn Arabi al-Maliki, ajma' al-muslimuna bi-anna qawlahu insha'Allah yamna'u in'iqad al-yameen bi-shart kawnihi muttasilah. He said it's consensus of all of the scholars that if he says insha'Allah, the yameen cannot be established as long as it is muttasil. Muttasil means, wallahi, I will teach today, insha'Allah. That's muttasil. They're connected. Okay? Wallahi, I will teach tomorrow. And then I keep quiet. Hamad, when do we have the next program in Revivers? And then tell me in December. Why December? We argue, we fight, and then later on I say, oh, inshallah. And I meant that this inshallah is going back to the... yeah, save your energy. You're going to see other amazing things from some scholars. So Ibn al-Arabi says the ijma is on a situation where you put them together. Wallahi, I will do, inshallah. Wallahi, I will not do, inshallah. Qala, walaw jaza, and this is very true. Walaw jaza munfasilan, kama qala ba'adhu salafi, lam yahnath ahadun fi yameenin abada, walam yuhtaj ila kafaratin. If it is possible for you to say inshallah at any time, then there is no way for somebody to do kafara in his life. Yeah, because according to some of the Salaf al-Saleh, yeah, you can do istithna at any moment. You say, if this is the case, then what is the point of having, who will do kafara? At any time that I realize that I don't want to do something, I would just say inshallah, and then khalas, that yameen is batil. Anytime. Do you get it, right? So when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that is kafara, that is hinth, we understand that istithna has to be connected. وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي زَمَنِ الْإِتِصَالِ. So now, the scholars agree that it has to be متصلة. But what should be the reasonable duration, you know, acceptable duration? جمهور يقولون هو أن يقول إن شاء الله متصلا باليمين من غير سكوت بينهما. Is to say إن شاء الله connected to the يمين without any pause. Any pause. If you have a pause, then خلاص. No, إن شاء الله will work. He says, ولا يضره التنفس, unless if you want to breathe. Wallahi mazin, I will go with you. Inshallah. That's that one, bole. Other than that, tabole. He says, and if let's say, I say, wallahi mazin, I will do, and then I keep quiet. Unnecessarily, I just want to keep quiet. I want to check something here. Yeah. And then I come back, inshallah. Yeah, I lost, according to the majority of the scholars. So it has to be connected to the statement itself. قلت وهذا هو الذي تدل له الفاء في قوله فقال. Because الفاء لي التعقيب والترتيب, right? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said من حلف فقال. فقال means immediately says inshallah. You get it? So the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars is the closest opinion, inshallah, to the truth, that it has to be connected together. وعن طاووس والحسن وجماعة من التابعين. طاووس and الحسن and some scholars from the تابعين أن له استثناء ما لم يقم من مجلسه. You still have a chance to do استثناء as long as you are still in the majlis al-yameen. Like we're here, right? We're having, so Omar says, wallahi, I will do this. And then we have our class, we're still in the majlis. Yeah, before we end the class, after 1 hour, 2 hours, then he says, inshallah. That's okay. قالوا ما, according to this opinion, right? Majority of the scholars said, no, it has to be connected. وقال عطاء قدر حلبة الناقة. عطاء said, no, it is measured by the time you need to milk a camel. They have in their custom how much time they need to milk a camel. He said that time. وقال سيد بن جبير بعد أربعة أشهر. قال ابن عباس, سيد بن جبير says, after 4 months, you have maximum 4 months. Who will reach 4 months actually? This is maximum 4 months. Maybe he is taken from إلى الذين يؤلون من نسائهم تربصوا أربعة أشهر. Because الإلى, ما هو الإلى؟ الحلف. هو الحلف, الحلف ألا يقرب الرجل زوجته. لكن الإله في أصله الحلف. من الذي يتألى علي؟ من الذي يتألى على الله؟ التألي على الله هو الحلف بالله. A person swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something or not to do something. Or swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that something is like this. That's the meaning of الإله that you find في كتاب الزواج والطلاق. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have a chance for four months for them to come back. If not, then the judge has a right to cut off the marriage. And that wife is gone against that person. You get what I'm talking about, right? I'm not talking to myself, right? A person says to his wife, wallahi, I will not come closer to you. Even left the house. Or he stays in the house, but he told her that he will never approach her. In this case, Sharia gave him 4 months to think. After 4 months, if he doesn't think, the judge has the right to cut off the marriage and let her go and marry somebody else. You know, because that was injustice and oppression. So if he does it, it's wrong to do. But if he does, then Allah gave him up to this 4 months. وقال ابن عباس له الاستثناء أبدا حتى يذكره. يروى عن عبد الله بن عباس, عبد الله بن عباس said, he has a chance to do استثناء أبدا, forever. And at any time he remembers that he mentioned the يمين without استثناء, he can just say inshallah. That's why maybe Abu Ja'far al-Mansur told Imam Malik, تجنب رخص بن عباس. He says, stay away from the concessions of Abdullah bin Abbas. Because he has opinions which لا يوافقه عليه الصحابة. Like جواز ربا الفضل. According to Abdullah bin Abbas, ربا الفضل is halal. You know ربا الفضل, sir? No. What is ربا الفضل?
When you sell something of the same, with different quantity, the same jins, mm-hmm. with more and less.
One of them is more than the other one. Okay. I mean, increase in one of the ribawi items, right? Okay, you open shahiyya li su'al, so I will ask another question if you don't mind. I know you will not mind. You also asked me two questions, so I ask you one, number two, the second one left. The riba in loan, which riba is in loan? That is, I know riba al-jahiliya. Riba of Jahiliyyah. Which type of riba the Jahiliyyah people are doing? Okay, we have Nasi'a, we have Fadl, right? We have Nasi'a. What is Nasi'a?
Increase on the loan amount.
Sheikh, Nasi'a is the, for example, gold and gold.
Yeah, gold and gold.
And 2 kilograms, 2 kilograms. Mm-hmm. But I give him first, and I receive it later.
So Nasi'a means?
Delay in
payment, right? Good. Nasi'a means delay in payment. If I borrow money from you, right? If I borrow money from you and I delay in paying that loan, what do you call it? Is it riba? No. So when does riba exist then? No, then you're opening another question also for me to ask, you know. When does riba exist? Islamically, it's not only halal, it's actually recommended for the lender to give more chance, more time to the borrower, right, to pay the debt. Sure? Yeah. So if we say riba and nasi'ah is the one that is in loan, then how do we define that? Because riba and nasi'ah is increase in one of the amounts, right? And now, riba al-jahiliyah, I lent him money, okay, not me, but he lent him money, and he asked him to pay more than what he gave him. That's riba. Increasing one of the amount, yeah, because the loan is exchange, right? Exchange. Whether you like it or don't like it, we call it exchange. But Sharia closes an eye without calling it riba because it is bab of al-irfaq. That's why we don't call it bayya. Wa illa huwa mubadalatu malin bimal. Yantabiqu alayhi ta'rif al-bay. But because it is based on al-irfaq, solidarity, support, helping, removing difficulty and hardship, and also the one who is benefiting from the money is the side that is always getting harmed when the riba is being taken. But now he's the one who is benefiting. So Sharia says, no problem. Otherwise, if you call it bayya, there is no way for a sister to borrow gold from another sister. You get it? If she says, okay, give me your gold, inshallah, I will give you another one after 1 year. That would be riba. If we call it bayya, let me make you happy, Mazin. If we are to call it bayya, but alhamdulillah, we don't call it bayya. We call it what? Qard. Because qard lahu bab akhar, it has its own chapter. So that's why in qard is halal for this kind of exchange to happen. Because in the future, this sister, she's going to give another gold. She's not going to give this one. Otherwise, we don't call it qard. We call it what? Al-ariya, simple borrowing. Meaning you are lending somebody the benefit of the thing, but he has to return the object back to you later. Yet, so there is no riba in it because he's just taking the benefit and returning back the thing. So in qard, we don't call it bayya, although fihi sifatul bayy, asarf, because you are giving something and you are receiving another thing which has similar nature in the future. According to the law of sarf, they have to be the same amount and they have to be on the spot. But this one in loan, they wait until. Do you get it? So the nasi'a is there. Delaying the payment is there in loan, originally. So when does riba exist? When the increase happened. That's why riba al-fadl ansabu bi bab al-qard. Riba al-fadl, more closer to the bab al-qard than the riba al-nasi'a. However, you can take both to make Yusuf happy. You can go with both. You say that nasi'a is being used to address the riba that exists in loan based on the cause, sabab, of that riba. Why do I ask him to pay? Because I am giving him more time. So that now, an-nasa al-lughawi, laysa the one that exists in the riba. Nasa is a linguistic nasa, which is delay. What do you call it? Riba al-nasi'a. A riba allati sababuha an-nasi'a. Delay in the payment. I'm giving him more time, but then I ask him to pay because of the time I'm giving him. You get it, Yusuf? Some benefit in bab riba. What was the first question I asked you? I forgot that one. Also, I went.
What's
the
riba
al-fadl? Riba al-fadl. Riba al-fadl is the increase in one of the items. So we're talking about Rukhas Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? Mm-hmm. He took it from who actually this? Opinion.
Hadith
of who?
Rasulullah.
Yes, yes, you're right. Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who else, you know, if not Hadith Rasulullah? Hadith Rasulullah, who narrated that? Of course, Hadith Rasulullah, but who narrated? I want you to emphasize on the companion because he mentioned that he took it from so and so person. No, Aisha was not among those who legalized. The younger person, young. Abu Hurairah is not young. Young, very young. Very young in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, young. And Hassan, I think that one is older than Hassan, but another young one. Why you keep on mentioning Osama bin Zayd? Thank you, Omar. I wish I have some book of riba, I give it to you free. this hadith of Osama is sahih. La riba illa fi nasiya. So Abdullah ibn Abbas took it from there, but Abu Darda or Abu Sayyid al-Khudri met him and he really talked to him very harshly. He says, until when you will keep on legalizing haram to the people? And he smiles. He says, you know better than me. He said, I just took it from Osama. But then subhanAllah, most of the scholars said he retracted back his old opinion, this one. However, other scholars said no. Based on the tatabbu' wal istiqra, Abdullah ibn Abbas died without changing that opinion. Although he apologized to the companion, and he told him that, yes, you guys know better than me in this subject. But this, looking at the hadith of Usama, this is my understanding, that riba only exists in nasi'ah. There is no riba in al-fadl. Yeah, so you can increase whatever you want. I have gold, you have gold, you can just give me 10 kg, I'll give you 1 kg, it's okay, it's fine. But you cannot do it with delay in the payment. So that's why we really need to be very careful. This type of jobs, they're very sensitive and very dangerous, right? Sarraf, to be sarraf. I read that one of the Maliki says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ يَسْلَمَ لَكَ دِينُكَ فَلَا تَجِبْ وَلِمَ تَصَرَّفُ. He said, when you want your deen to be protected, do not accept the invitation for walima from a sarraf, somebody who is money changer. قال المالكي, not Ibrahim. Because it's not easy for you to do that job and stay away from riba. It's not easy. Yeah, he has to do a lot of manipulation for him to make sure that he stays away from riba. Get it? So just a side benefit, that's why buying gold with delay, online shopping, you know, is wrong. Haram. It's riba, actually. Yeah, you buy online and the gold will be delivered later. That's riba. Yeah, it has to be cash on delivery, right? It is something like that, right? They deliver and then you give, they deliver the gold, you give them the money. It has to be like that, on the spot. So you initiate the transaction and everything, then when they bring the gold, you take it and you give the guy the money. They will never agree. That's mean they will agree with riba. And the same goes to buying gold also with the check. The bank check also is riba. Because there is no taqabud. Yeah, there's no taqabud. Some said, no, but he gave him the check, right? Salam. He gave him the check, right? Isn't it taqabud? They said, no, this cannot be taqabud. Be the lead. If he goes to the bank and he submitted the check and the bank found that this check is faulty, it has some. What do you do? You go back to him, right? What does that mean? That means you did not take your right yet. If somebody stopped you on the way and took the check, what do? You call the guy and ask him to cancel the check. And he should issue another one for you. You lost it, you go to him and ask him, please cancel that one and issue another one for me. That means you do not take. But if let's say, I buy the gold from you, get it? I give you the money, and you lost the money, by whatever reason. Somebody took it from you, you lost it, whatever. Can you come back to me and tell me to give you another one? No. So I just want you to see the difference, right? In taqabul. So that's why our scholar said you cannot buy gold with the sheikh. Okay, the last thing, and I was mentioning this because up to date we are dealing with these matters. The last thing is concerning the sisters when they want to exchange the old gold with the new one. Usually what do? She goes to the shop, she sees what she wants, and then she tells him, okay, how much is this? Okay, I have an old one. Can I exchange this one with the old one? And sometimes the old one she has is more, bigger in terms of amount of gold inside, and the new one is little, but she wants the new one. Right? She wants the new one. That's okay for her to want the new one. But the exchange has to be correct. Now she is going to give the new, the old gold to take the new one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they have to be equal. And we know it is they are not equal. That means if she does, she's doing what? Riba. You get it? If she does, they're doing riba. And she has to know. She cannot say, oh, I don't know. The guy cannot say, oh, we don't know which one is more. Get kadab. He knows because these are experts. He knows. But in case he says, I don't know, can they do the transaction? No. Based on assumption, maybe this one is more, maybe they are equal, they can't. Why can't they do? Because that is a qaida in Babu Riba, very important qaida for you to remember when talking about riba, issue matters of riba. They said, al-jahlu bit-tasawi kal-ilmi bit-tafadl. Al-jahlu bit-tasawi kal-ilmi bit-tafadl. Al-jahlu bit-tasawi kal-ilmi bit-tafadl. You know, they have to be equal, right? So that means I must make sure that the equality is there between the two. They said, al-jahlu bit-tasawi, if I am not sure or I'm ignorant of whether they are equal or not. They said, this ignorance is equal to me having the knowledge that one of them is more than the other one. If I have the knowledge that one of them is more than the other one, can I do a transaction? No. They said, if I have a doubt that one of them might be, you know, more, then this is equal to the situation when I know one of them is more. And in Bab al-Riba, they don't accept any possibilities. You have to be sure 100% that they are equal. Yeah, then you can have the exchange. Is that clear? So that one also, they can't do it. So how can she sell the gold then, the old one? Very simple, which I believe business-wise also is better for her to go for this. Go to the guy, tell him, I have an old gold. How much would you buy it? Negotiate with that, bargain and fight for her right to get, because sometimes, not sometimes, actually always, when the seller sense that I am in need, what does that mean? They will try to exploit, no, to exploit me. You go and buy, you go to buy something, land for instance, if they know you are in need of that thing, trust me, something that worth 10 ringgit, you might end up paying 50 ringgit. That's why during the Eid, how much is the sheep? Very expensive, very expensive. Yeah, almost in every country you go. Just wait for the Eid to finish. The sheep, the one that you're told you have to pay 2,000 ringgit, you might be paying 1,000 or 1,002. What happened to the 800? Yeah, but it's the nature of the people. Whenever they sense there is a need, then a person will not try to help, which Islam is against. Because Islam is for you sensing that somebody is in need, try to support him. Okay, you profit, but be reasonable in the way you help him to get that need of his. You get it? Don't exploit. I mean, make it cheaper for him. You don't lose. You get the profit, but it's not as big as you might be expecting before because you sense somebody is in need. That's Islam. Unfortunately, where do you find this? Almost nowhere. So what does she do? She goes to the shop. She initiates the transaction. Buy the one that she, sell her own gold. Get it? Negotiate. And then after that, after the man buys, can he just tell him, okay, before you pay me the money, that gold is how much? And that's riba. And she has to get her money with her hand first. Take the money. She must. People might call it childish, tafula, right? We don't care. You call it childish, call whatever you want to call it, you will explain that with Rabbul Alameen. And I'm saying this because people say this. This economy yoon, you know, they call them economy yoon. So they say this is childish. Yeah? when you're talking about a sarf in transaction, but it's not close your ears, right? Don't tell me Ibrahim is making life tougher. I'm not, you know, I'm just telling you what they say. Anyway, in sarf, when I go to the bank, I want to send money to another country. What do? I give the bank ringgit, right? I ask him to send riyal to Saudi. I told him, I want Saudi riyal, 80 ringgit. How much? He told me, 80 riyal. How much? He told me, 100 ringgit. So I gave him 100 ringgit. When do I receive, or my partner in Saudi receive the 80 ringgit? After 2-3 days. But don't forget, in the bank, when I told him, when I gave him 80 ringgit, 100 ringgit, and he said he will give me 100 ringgit. What are we doing? 100 riyal. What are we doing? Sarf. Money exchange. Exactly money exchange. You're exchanging your ringgit with his riyal. Did you give him his ringgit? Yes. Did he give you your riyal? No. He gave you after 2-3 days. What is that? Riba. How to do it? When the scholars explain, some other guys, they said, no, this is childish. Yeah, you have to tell the bank, okay, I have this 80 ringgit. I'm sorry, 100 riyal. I need 100 riyal. I have 100 ringgit. I need 80 riyals. The bank gives you 80 riyal. You take it. And then tell the bank, this 80 riyal, please pass it to so-and-so-and-so account in Saudi Arabia. They said, this is childish. Since you're going to give him at the first place, why do you take it? You take and then pass it back to him. He said, no problem, as long as Sharia wants it like that. And wallah is better. Because you know, sometimes the money is not even there actually in the bank. Yeah, because people like us, when we go 1,000 ringgit, 2,000 ringgit, 50,000 maybe maximum, those big guys, when they want $2 million, for instance, the bank doesn't have it in cash because they can't bring it and keep it. It might depreciate and they lost. They don't have. When they tell you 3 days, they have to generate it. That's another haram also, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot sell something which you don't have. Another haram also. So what is the best way to make it? This way that I have mentioned. That is also another way. Give him the riyal, ringgit. Give him the ringgit. Tell him, please pass this 100 ringgit to my friend in Saudi. 100 ringgit. Don't tell him riyal. Pass the 100 ringgit in Saudi. Don't sit down and negotiate with him. You know, they would never agree with that. But anyway, then negotiate with him. You get it? And just ask him to pass the 100 ringgit to him. Is it possible? Yes, they do. Yeah, yes, they do. Because sometimes when you get money from the US, when it comes to Malaysia, the bank tells you there is dollars coming to you. They will not tell you ringgit. Although they will give you ringgit, but they will tell you, you receive $100, $200, this amount of dollars. They mention, what did they mention? Dollars. Which means what comes to their account for you is dollar, not ringgit. But since the policy says they will not give you the dollars, so they will convert it. So this is when the sarf is taking place, during the conversion to your account. So when they put it in your account, then this one is tolerable, because your account is like taqabul from your side. But at the first place, when they are sending it from whatever country, if they don't send it in the same country that it will reach you, then it will be riba. If they don't send it, let's say I want to send $100 to Waqas. You get it? You're living in Saudi. I send you $100 in Saudi. I give the bank $100. And the bank send $100 to you. But then when you come to receive, the bank says, no, we give you riyal. This is when the exchange is taking place between you and the bank now. But between me and the bank, there is no currency exchange. There is agency contract. I assign them to send the money to you. They charge me some fees at Turkey, you know, Turkey. They said they charge me some fees for it, no problem. It doesn't matter. That's why Ibn Uthaymeen says, if you send the same currency and it's going to reach your partner in the same way, then it doesn't matter. How long does it take? It doesn't matter. 100 years before Idrich, it doesn't matter. But this is wakala contract. I give you, you're going to Saudi. I said, Waqas, this is my $20,000. Please give it to Abdurrahman Pakistani in Jeddah. He will never forget me. Right? You get it. So, but then you take the transit, mashallah, you have to go to Singapore for 10 days, and Saudi for, I'm sorry, Riyadh for how many days, and then you go to another country, and then you come back to Jeddah, it's all fine. You get it? We cannot say that it has to be delivered to him on the spot. But if you have the currency exchange between you and the bank, then the money has to be transferred right on the spot. Can they do it? Yes. Trust me, أقسم بالله, they can do. They just don't want. They can do. Nowadays, within the blink of an eye, the money reach wherever you want it to reach. Actually, it just, you know, some of the explanation given to us, it's just a permission being given by the other bank to just release the money. The money is already there in that country. You get it? They can do. Yeah, but this is one of the also capitalism, you know, capitalist mentality that some people have. The bank says we cannot avoid those 3 days because we have to also engage in the contract with other parties to get the money for you. Right? Because if we keep the dollars here in Malaysia, the dollar might depreciate and then we lost. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do understand. But I, as a customer, when the dollar depreciate, who is losing? I'm losing. Why the bank is thinking about themselves, they don't think about the customer also. That's number one. What's wrong with also finalizing all the necessary process and take all the promises from him? Legal agreement between the bank and the guy that he's going to buy. And if he refuses to buy, he has to compensate them every difficulty or obstacle or loss they encounter because of his promise. Why can't they do that? He shouldn't pay a single cent until the time the money is ready in Malaysia here. And then they call him, Waqas, your $3 billion is ready. Come and pick them up. I don't know, where do you put them? Allahu Alam. But you get the example I'm using, right? Why can't they do this, right? Why can't they just finalize all the processes, you know, and then take the money from him? He transfer, and then they transfer him the money. But the system will not agree with this. And that's why they have to find somebody to make it halal for them to go in this way. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article which says, this is a market norm, market culture. We cannot avoid it. Ammat bihi al-balwa. So then, halal. What is the hukum? Halal, halal. Those 3 days, 4 days, according to the market norms, is okay. It's not riba. According to those guys, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them and guide their uqul to think properly. If we're going to consider the norms here, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never reject any riba. When I asked him, what is the riba al-fadl, he told me riba al-jahiliyyah, right, Yusuf? Riba al-jahiliyyah means the one that the jahiliyyah are busy doing, meaning it is part of their custom. Almost everyone is doing. Even in the family member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, riba exists. That's why he says, wa awwalu riban adha'uhu tahta qadamay hatayn riba Al-Abbas. She said, the first riba that I will destroy is the riba of my uncle Al-Abbas. That was the custom. The Prophet ﷺ did not hesitate to cut it off. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you tawfiq, grant all of us tawfiq and ability to do the right thing. So for the sisters, this is the way to make it. She takes the money first and then she initiates another transaction for the new gold. That's how it should be done. It might be cheaper than the old one that she just sold to the guy. Okay, these are all side benefits. I think we got lost when we talk about the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. قال ابن عباس له الاستثناء أبدا. He does have a right to do the istithna forever at any time he remembered. قلت وهذه التقادير خالية عن الدليل وقد تأول بعضهم هذه الأقاويل بأن مرادهم أنه يستحب له أن يقول إن شاء الله تبركا أو وجوبا. ابن إسماعيل الأمير الصنعاني said all of these تقادير all of these measurements okay, one day, 2 days, 1 year, forever. He says none of them has any evidence to support them. But they say some people said, amongst the scholars, maybe the reason why they are mentioning this, they are not talking about you being permitted to say the inshallah after 10 years. But they are just saying, you should say inshallah tabarrukan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتِ. You remember? وَلَا تَقُولَ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتِ. When you forgot, you should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said, they're not talking about the inshallah to be connected with the yameen, but they are talking about you saying the inshallah when you remember. Either looking for tabarruk, or because you did not do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do. You get it? So then you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're saying inshallah to go out of the violation of the wajib. Because Allah commanded you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you remember. You get it? So, as I said, the best opinion is the one that says istithna has to be connected to the yameen. قَالَ فَيَكُونُ لِلِسْتِثْنَاءُ رَافِعًا لِلْإِثْمِ الْحَاصِلِ بِتَرْكِهِ أَوْ لِتَحْصِيلِ ثَوَابِ النَّدْبِ عَلَى الْقَوْلِ بِاسْتِحْبَابِهِ وَلَمْ يَرِيدُوا بِحَلَّ الْيَمِينِ. So this is what exactly I have just mentioned. وَاخْتَلَفُوا هَلِ الْإِسْتِثْنَاءُ مَانِعٌ لِلْحِنْثِ فِي الْحَلِفِ بِاللَّهِ وَغَيْرِهِ مِنَ الظِّهَارِ وَالنَّظْرِ وَالْإِقْرَارِ. So they also talk about this issue. Is al-istithna, is it only affecting yameen using Allah's name and his sifat, or any yameen? Yameen bit-talaq, yameen bin-nadr, or it is also applicable in the zihar cases and nudhur cases. Another way, talk about it last time, right? Wal-iqrar, confession. فَقَالَ مَالِكٌ لَا يَنْفَوْ إِلَّا فِي الْحَلِفِ بِاللَّهِ دُونَ غَيْلِهِ. When Malik says, if it's not, it's only help and working when it comes to swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not anything else. وَاسْتَقْوَاهُ بِنِ الْعَرَبِي. Ibn al-Arabi supported this opinion, because he's also Maliki, right? He supported. وَاسْتَدَلَّ بِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى قَالَ ذَلِكَ كَفَّارُتُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ. He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the kafara for your yameen when you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ الْإِسْتِثْنَاءُ أَخُ الْكَفَّارَةِ. They said, istithna'u is the brother of the kafara. It's connected with the kafara. فَلَا يَدْخُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ إِلَّا الْيَمِينُ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. So, وَفِي الْحَلِفِ بِاللَّهِ. He says, nothing can, istithna cannot be applicable except in the yameen al-shar'iyyah. Islamic yameen, the oath, the swear. وَالْحَلِفُ بِاللَّهِ. وَذَهَبَ أَحْمَدُ إِلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْعِتْقُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَهُ الْبَيْهَقِي. Imam Ahmad says, al-itq is not included. Al-halifu bi al-itq is not included. وَإِذَا قَالَ لِعَبْدِهِ أَنْتَ حُرٌ I'm sorry. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْعِتْقُ لِمَا أَخْرَجَهُ الْبَيْهَقِي. Because of the narration of Imam al-Bayhaqi min hadith Mu'adhin marfu'an. قال إذا قال لمرأتي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if a person tells his wife, أنت طالق إن شاء الله لم تطلق. If a person says to his wife, أنت طالق إن شاء الله لم تطلق, she is not divorced. That's why fiqh is good. Yeah, if you pass the Bab al-Ibadat, you get it? Bab al Ibadat, strange things in Bab al-Ibadat are little. But the moment you pass Bab al-Ibadat, especially when you come to the Ankiha, you will find a lot of things. Inshallah, you will never stop studying fiqh. Be so interesting, inshallah. Yeah, you will see different types of mentalities among the people. And usually whatever they mention, there are things in our societies like that. Right? So he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَالَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَنْتِ طَالِقٌ إِنْشَاءَ. A person says to his wife, you are divorced, inshallah. لَمْ تَطْلُقْ. She is not divorced. وَإِذَا قَالَ لِعَبْدِهِ. So we get the reason why she is not divorced, right? Yeah. Because how does he know that Allah شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. But if he doesn't say inshallah, is she divorced?
Yes.
What if he tells us, my intention is not divorce? Wallah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, innama al-a'malu bin niyyat. MashaAllah, faqih, faqih. You know, it's very funny, you know. Husband and wife, the husband will get angry, wife will get angry, and they will cut off the marriage. But subhanAllah, usually, naturally, right after the marriage has been gone, then the strong connection between the two also will come. Husband will be thinking, what did I just do? The wife will be asking, what is that? Did that just happen? Do you get it? They rush to talk, but when it happens, they start thinking. That's why Rabbul Alameen says, sabr, 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 sabr. Be patient. So if he says, anti talik, and then he tells us, no, I did not intend talak. Mufti, what is that? No. His state. Penang. Yeah. Oh. Don't tell the Mufti there. I don't want you to be excommunicated. Omar says, we don't agree with him. She's still divorced. وَسَكَتَ الْآخَرُونَ The rest keep quiet. Yusuf, I would like to know your opinion here. Do we trust him or we give him what he said? طيب, Omar, what is your evidence? Why can't we trust him?
And Prophet ﷺ said, three matters shouldn't be dealt with in just divorce, talaq, ruju, and
nikah.
Nikah, no.
So he says, jidduhunna jidd wa hazluhunna jidd. Whether you are joking or you are serious, it doesn't matter. But don't you think the hadith that says, innama al-a'malu bin niyyat should be given the preference here? We judge him based on what he has intended.
The specific hadith is more stronger than the general hadith.
Yes, he is. Or the same thing. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Hayakallah. Kayf al-hal?
Barakallah. Sorry to disturb
you. Ah, no, labas. Labas, labas.
Hayakallah. Oh, no, I finished from engineering.
Okay, that's it. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah. Alaikum salam. Okay, back to the thalathun jidduhunna jidd wa hazluhunna jidd. على العام. Okay. So كيف نفهم قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنية؟ So نقول إنه عام, but this one, but that person says actually I wasn't intending talaq at all. My intention was to release her from responsibility in the house. Yeah, because anti talik تطلق الشيء, you know, is to release somebody from responsibility. He did not intend talaq. This is different from the person that says to his wife, anti talik, you are divorced. And he intended talaq, but in a jokey way. He was joking. That's a lazy way, alhamdulillah. That's to take it back to the qadi. Yeah, but those who are studying usul with us, I think recently we talked about this matter, right? Yeah. I think that time he came late at that time. Just after the majaz, you were there when we talk about it. I think this is the class, just this. Tuesday? No, I think we did al-sarih wal. We did it on Thursday. Yeah, because I remember we just started talking about dalalatul al-alfaz, and we talk about al-zahir, only. Even Zahir, I think we do not explain it that much. And before that, we talk about Majaz. Yeah, that's Tuesday. And Thursday, we talk about... Yani, this is not Usul Fiqh class. Why do I need to remind you about... That means you got zero in your test. But what do you call that one? No problem. What do you call that one? That is a topic for it. Right? They connect it with the majaz and haqiqa. After that, they talk about al-kinaya wa sariha. He forgot that. Yes. Yeah, they said sariha. This is al-fadl sariha. The one that, although it has ihtimal, yeah, but when it comes to some circumstances, it has only one meaning. The scholars would only take it for this. A husband telling his wife, anti talik. What is known fi urfin nas, the luck in marriages is divorce. Different from when he tell her, i'taddi, start doing the idda. This one, some scholars said when he says i'taddi, no ta'weed, it's sarih, because idda comes after the marriage. But another example for kinaya, he says to her, anti hurra, you are free. Free from what? Could be your divorce, and could be you're free from responsibility in the house. But when he says talaq, khalas, we don't trust him if he comes to us and tell us, no, my intention was this and that, because this is min al-fadhi sariha, according to the language. Okay, wallahu a'lam. Okay, so he says, man qala li zawjatihi anti talik, if a person tells his wife, you are talik, insha'Allah, lam tatluq. Say, insha'Allah, lam tatluq. Wa idha qala li abdihi anta hurrun, insha'Allah, fa innahu talik. If he says to his slave, you are hur, insha'Allah, fa innahu hur. Insha'Allah doesn't work here. But in talaq, it works. You remember Imam Ahmad says, inshallah works in any other thing but not talaq. He cannot tell his wife, inshallah, you are divorced, inshallah, but he meant his joke. I'm sorry. If he says, inshallah, lam tatluq, according to the hadith. But if he tells his slave, anta hurrun, inshallah, and khalas. Why? Because already, inshallah. Allah loves tahrir. Wait, they will come and talk to you about these things. Which one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? Because there are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, shi'tu hadha, because He asked us to do. So He says, inshallah, we already know that, already inshallah. That's why he has to go with the kafara. Inshallah will not benefit him here. If he goes against, he must do the kafara. Okay, we will talk about that one, inshallah, in the next class. But I have one question here before I go to Yusuf. He says, "Anta hurrun, inshallah." We said what? He's hur. Okay, I have one side question here. They said there is a person who refused to free his slave. I want to ask you whether this is accepted or not. He refused to free his slave. They were in a boat, both of them, and then something happens. Unfortunately, the slave got inside the river or the sea. He tried to bring him back. He couldn't. So he realized that the slave is going to die. La mahala. He looked at him. He says, "A'taqtuka li wajhi Allah." He says, "I free you for the sake of Allah." What do you think about this? Do you get the scenario right? When he realized that, khalas, no more slave, right, this slave is going to die, he looked at him, he says, anta hurru li wajhi Allah, lillahi ta'ala. Ma lakum sakituna. He will not become free? But how do you apply this qaida? I agree, this qaida, correct qaida, but how do you apply it here?
Sheikh, I just made...
هذا تأخر شيئا
بعد أوانه يعني.
He was supposed to free him, but when he realized that he is losing the slave is going to die. So he wanted to get some reward. He told him, أنت حر لوجه الله تعالى. Unless you go back to Allah as حر. Does that benefit him? Nothing. It doesn't benefit him in any way. This type of i'tiq, does it work? But let's say the slave, you know, the significance of this, let's say if the slave managed to survive. The man said, actually, I was freeing you because I thought you will die. What would be the hukum of Qadi Yusuf?
If he survived, then he becomes free.
If he survived, he becomes free. If he did not survive, why did you remove the freedom from him?
Sheikh, because I remember the mas'ala that if a man divorces his wife before he dies, so she won't have to get the inheritance, the talaq doesn't count. So I compared to that.
But that one, you see, he is trying. Why did he divorce her? Why did he divorce her when he was about to die?
So she won't get married.
Because he wants to deprive her from inheritance. That is فرق بين القياس هذا بين العلة هنا. It doesn't match. This one is freeing him out of the hope that he will get reward. He is not harming the slave in any way. But that husband is harming the wife. He doesn't want her to get inheritance. When he is about to die, he says, I divorce my wife, he said. Then the scholar said, it doesn't work with us. And that's actually, we need it when it is the final divorce. Because the first divorce and the second divorce, if one of them died before the end of the iddah, they still inherit each other. But the final divorce, divorce number three, let's say al qawl bi jawazihi, he told his wife, I divorce you three times. The three divorce. She is divorced according to the majority of the scholars with three. Right? But his intention was to deprive her from inheritance because he was about to die. What else, you know, as explanation to tell you that this man is intending to deprive this wife from inheritance. That's why they apply that qaida, man ista'ajala shay'an qabla awanihi uqiba bihirmanihi. You hastened to get something before a due time, you will be punished by you not getting it. The best example for this is somebody who killed his deceased, the one that he inherited. Why is he killing him? To get the inheritance. We don't give him the inheritance. Al-Abd al-Mudabbar. You know Mudabbar, right? The one that the master told him, if I die, you're free. So he killed the master. We keep him in slavery. He will not be free. You know. That slave is free. بدليل ما قاله عمر because of what Umar said of that hadith ثلاث جده النجد. That slave is free. Free. You know. If he wants to have some different intention, he will say, I free you if you don't survive. You are free if you don't survive. So then the slave will make sure that he died, you know. Yeah, but if he doesn't say this and he said, you are free, liwajihillah. But then when the slave survived and he comes and say no, yeah, then the judge and the court will tell him, you lost your slave. You will not come back to him. Yeah. But would that benefit him in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Because he has no choice to do that. And there is no benefit for the slave. Why do you get those huge amount of rewards for freeing the slave? Because you're giving him ability to be productive. Yeah. To be on his own, to live as in freedom, not restricted to anybody. But now, no more. He doesn't do that until the time he knows that there is no benefit. It's like وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ تُغْمِذُ فِيهِ. get it. Allah grant us good. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any question? The small thing. As in, you owe me a lot of. Revivers also rent things. Why will you rent and then when and I give mine, I have to give it for free?
Okay, Sheikh. Zakum Allah khairan.
How many questions?
Have two. Should we take both of them? Or? Okay, Sheikh. The first question is by Sister Saliha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ya Sheikh, does that mean buying gold online for investment purposes without receiving it physically is haram, even though the company said that they separate your portion from the bullion?
That's a joke. It's still haram. Still haram. Yeah, we don't want to go in deeper. Sometimes that same gold might be sold to another person. Because it's just word being given to you. How do you know that that gold is not also being? Somebody was telling me there's a gold which has so many owners. We don't know who exactly owned this gold. It doesn't work. We will separate it and put it in a place. No, it doesn't go. At-taqabud al-haqiqi must be possessed hand to hand.
Next question. Okay, Sheikh, last question. Question by Umrayan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsan Allahu alaikum bin dinah wa al-akhirah. To not be accountable for an oath mentioned with insha'Allah, is it only if the oath is not fulfilled with circumstances beyond your control? That is, try at most to fulfill and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or can one just decide not to fulfill the oath because of a change of heart?
No, whenever he changes his mind, willingly, kafara is necessary. He's shy of somebody, he changes his mind, kafara is necessary. Mazin said, Wallah, I will not come into my sajda tarahul. Because he comes and sees some people doing some skills, so he got annoyed, you know. He says, I will never come to my sajda tarahul. Yusuf, not this one, another Yusuf, who is like 2, 3, 4, 5 times of Mazin in size. He came and squeezed Mazin like this. Raise him up. Bring him to the middle of my sajatara. Not even next to the door, the middle. That means no shubha that he's in the hole. Is it wajib upon Mazin to do kafara? No. Because this is ikrah mulji. Mukrah mulji, they said this is the person that lost control completely, have no control whatsoever. Yeah, somebody put gun on the head of another person and told him, Wallahi, if you don't do this, I will kill. And that person already swore by Allah he will not do it. And he knows that this guy is stupid enough to shoot. He knows that this man is really, really crazy. He will do. Can that person go and do the thing that he said he will not do? Yes, to save his life. And no kafara. That's why whenever a person is forced to do what is out of his control, not based on shyness, the husband comes back home in the middle of Ramadan, and he's musafir. He came with all of these noisy things in his brain, the strong desire of his wife. When he comes and he came, made a mistake and come to the house in the day of Ramadan, the wife, is she musafira? No. She's not fasting. He told her, I'm a musafir, and halal for me to eat food, halal for me to have a relationship with my spouse. But then she tells him, no, but it is halal for you, but not for me. Mm-hmm. So he said, Wallah, I will be angry. I will fight. And then she decided to obey him. Did she break her fast? Yes. Is she going to do kafara? Yes. She committed a major sin. Let him get angry, who cares? You get it? But he forced her, he takes sword, you know, it's Bedouin, you know, and takes sword and started shooting guns. She realized that this man is Majnoon, you know. She submitted herself and the man did whatever he wants. Does she do kafara? No. No. She's still actually, Islamically, she's still fasting. You know, she's still fasting. Her fasting is not broken at all.
It's continued.
Anyone who forces you to eat, in the way, you know that if you don't eat, you'll be killed. You're sure about this, that this guy is really intending to kill. Tell you eat. Just sit down, ala barakatillah. Bismillah. Apply all the sunnah. You'll in eat. You can eat. But eat what is preventing the death from your case. You can't sit down and eat everything. Just eat. Tell him, I'm full. I don't usually eat that much. He said, no, I wanted to finish this. No problem. Just eat your food. Yeah, I just want you to break your fast. Tell him, no issues. Yeah, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your fast is still intact. That's why the scholar said, fasting is gone. You cannot describe the fasting of somebody as a fasting that is nullified, except if that person fulfills three conditions. Number one, al-ilm, knowledge. He must know the hukum. I told him, Mazen, why do you eat in Ramadan? He said, wallahi, I never know that I shouldn't eat in Ramadan. I thought fasting is all about not talking too much. Actually, you're the first person I talk to. I don't talk too much. And I don't drink water. But you're the first one. In Islam, we are not supposed to eat. And if ignorance in the case of Mazen is possible, why do I say it's possible? Because Mazen is living in KL, in UIA. And he is telling us he doesn't know that the hukum of fasting, you shouldn't eat. Can we trust him? No. But he's coming from kampung, very kampung, where the access to knowledge is very difficult. You get it? Then he said, I never know this. The sheikh that taught us, he told us fasting is like this. Can we give him that? Yes. That's why they said, al-jahl bil-hukum, huwa al-mu'tabar huna. You get it? Knowledge. And by the way, I have a question for those who speak Arabic for you. Yeah. If you already know the answer, don't answer my question. If you don't know the answer, you can try. They said, شخصٌ أكل نهاراً في رمضان. شخصٌ أكل نهاراً في رمضان. شخصٌ أكل نهاراً في رمضان. ثم لا يجب عليه الكفارة وصومه صحيح ولا الإثم. يعني أكل نهاراً في رمضان and there is no كفارة and the fast is okay. And this person is not majnoon, is not a woman on menses, is not a small person, is not a sick person, is not musafir. Any excuse that you know which legalize, you know, breaking the fast for a person, this guy doesn't have. The question is, well, you know the answer? You are out of the... Okay, the question is, who is this person? Okay, you answer, inshallah, after I finish the conditions. Okay, number two, a dhikr, remember us. Right? We saw Yusuf in Ramadan, he went to the canteen. That's why in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, they didn't open canteens in the daytime. Yeah, but Yusuf went to his room, he was really exhausted. He went to the room and opened his fridge, you know, and take his food, ate his food, and alhamdulillah, Allahumma lakal hamd. Waqas was there next to him, the roommate, he heard Yusuf saying, alhamdulillah, Allahumma lakal hamd, the food is so tasty. Waqas said, Yusuf, this is Ramadan. What's wrong with you? He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wallahi, I forgot. Does he need to do another fasting later?
No.
Because he ate by mistake, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you eat or drink by mistake, فَإِنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَى. That's why if, let's say, today is Ramadan, right? Maghrib already happens, right? But we know about the existence of Ramadan 5 minutes before Maghrib. The government announced in the TV that we made a mistake. Today is supposed to be Ramadan and therefore nobody is allowed to eat. Do we make up that day?
No.
As the shortest fasting you can. In the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they saw the moon. Somebody told them about the existence of the moon last night after Asr. And the Prophet told them to stop eating. Because تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمْ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. So they have been eaten by mistake. Salam, faham wa lataf. But the intention was made after Asr, right? Why?
Because Allah said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُومْ. The time they know about Ramadan was after us. And that was the time they're supposed to make intention to fast. Al-dhikr, right? The last one is Al-ikhtiyar. Yeah, Al-ikhtiyar. What is Al-ikhtiyar? Choice. You have a choice to break or not to break. If you don't have a choice, but this one is mukrah mulji, the one that you have no choice, somebody forced you to eat, like what we have heard a lot in some countries that their government is forcing people, I don't know whether that's true or not, but if it is true, those people, they are still fasting. They can eat the food. If they force them to eat, they eat the food and continue with their fast. Again, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha. Did I answer that question? The first one?
Yeah.
What is the question?
No,
not that one. The question of Murayyan or Saliha. Okay. Thank you very much. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
هو صبي لم يبلغ
ليس صبيا.